This summer on Next Question with Katie Couric, I'm celebrating the shortest season and the upcoming release of my own book with a series on memoirs. I'll be interviewing actors and activists, a path-blazing business leader, and one famous COVID widow about sharing their stories and putting all of themselves on the page. You might come away with a few excellent book recommendations for that much-deserved vacation. Listen to Next Question with Katie Couric wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday edition of Justice and a Drew. We got a lot to get to and not a lot of time to get to it, so let's not waste any time. We'll welcome in the Friday roundtable, lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien.
Good to be back.
Making a second appearance this week, our in-house counsel. Thank you so much.
No problem.
And one of the recipients of the inaugural Legislator Extraordinaire Awards, State Representative Eric Lucero.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Making your Friday roundtable debut. We will be playing the Friday News Quiz coming up at 8:40. Eric, I hope you're ready.
Well, I have been purposely detached, disconnected the best I can after session here, so we'll see.
No, I mean, that actually gives you an advantage, because it's rarely actually about the news. And, of course, our producer Sam in there will be competing as well. If you want to make a prediction, use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter or email JD@TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. Let's jump back into the final item in Sam's top five for a Friday.
Number five.
A Minnesota state lawmaker was cited on Sunday morning for driving with suspended driving privileges. This certain Minnesota state lawmaker is none other than Representative John Thompson, the man who threatened to burn down Hugo, has threatened people, who calls everyone a racist. That guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's fun.
Yeah, he's something.
I want to party with him.
I don't. He sounds like a horrible person to hang out with. He was pulled over by St. Paul police near 7th Street East and Wakuda Street at 1:18 a.m. on Sunday. For not having a front license plate.
Yeah, well, that'll get you pulled over.
That'll get you pulled over, man.
That'll do it.
Thompson has been an outspoken advocate for changing state law to prohibit so-called pretextual traffic stops for things like expired tabs and, like, license plates.
Would that be considered a pretextual stop, Jeff? Not having a front license plate?
I think it would fall into that category, okay. Yeah.
So my favorite part about this story is every line, because as you go deeper into the story, it actually gets better and better and better, because there's just so many layers to this story. So he got pulled over for what he would claim would be a pretextual stop, and he does happen to be an outspoken advocate for changing state laws to prohibit pretextual stops. Thompson and other supporters of such a change say that the minor infractions are often used to racially profile black drivers. So St. Paul police say that Thompson told the officer he was a Minnesota state representative.
Do you know who I am?
Which we know he does.
Do you think that's what it was? Do you think it was one of those, like, I am a state representative, how dare you?
We have seen video of him doing that to people before. And, like, that is just what he does. He does the whole, do you know who I am? And then when they're like, no, he's like, I'm a state representative. And they're like, okay, what's your name? And he's like, I'm a state representative. He claimed he was being racially profiled also. And when asked for his driver's license, Thompson gave the officer a Wisconsin driver's license. Police said officers then learned that Thompson's Minnesota driving privileges were suspended in 2019 for failing to pay child support.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So there's your next layer, you know. So
Jeff, you're
paying child support must be racist.
Well, of course, yes. It's a function of white supremacy. Clearly.
Yeah, of course.
You're our in-house counsel. If you have your Minnesota driving privileges suspended for whatever reason, failing to pay child support, whatever, is it legal to then just go to Wisconsin, get a driver's license, and I mean, don't you have a Wisconsin address? And
well,
Wisconsin
if you live in Wisconsin, you should be able to get a Wisconsin driver's license. But if you're a resident of St. Paul,
as he claims to be,
which is required for him to be running in the district that he represents, and you have your license suspended, no, it's not legal to go to another state and get a license and then drive on that one.
Why does he have a Wisconsin driver's license? How did he get a Wisconsin driver's license?
Your guess is as good as mine.
I mean, that's like a legit question to be asking.
That to me is the real meat here. And then that's what I think there's going to have to be an investigation on is, you know, we have residency requirements to run for office. So why the heck has he got a Wisconsin driver's license? How did he get a Wisconsin insurance and driver's license.
Very good
when he supposedly has been living in St. Paul for 18 years.
And that's the thing, because that's true. Thompson has lived in Minnesota for at least 18 years, supposedly at least. It's been confirmed that he does have a valid Wisconsin driver's license, but it is unclear what address he actually claims as his primary residence, which is kind of an important detail for him to be a representative of a specific area.
So when I read the article, it was talking about the child support. Mm-hmm. And yes. I think there was a line in this article or another one that said, even if you don't have a driver's license, your driving privileges in Minnesota can be suspended for not failing to pay child support. So that might, you know, as I read the article, I was of the opinion that he went over there to get a Wisconsin driver's license because of the consequence of failing to pay child support in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I saw something.
I don't know how to get a driver's license in Wisconsin, but I would assume you have to show up and at least give them some indication that you're a Wisconsin resident.
You would have to claim that. I would think so.
Yeah, no, I doubt Wisconsin is just handing out driver's licenses to anybody that shows up. Like, you have to live in Wisconsin to get a Wisconsin driver's license.
Exactly.
I can't remember where I read this, but this was later last night. I was going through I think I was on Twitter about this story. I read a report that the state, subsequent to this stop, that they have restored his driving privileges.
Yes.
They just wave a wand and he's got driving privileges again.
So a check of records around all of this indicate that Thompson's driving privileges were reinstated on Wednesday. So if we're thinking about all the different layers of this story.
Wednesday.
Yeah, so let's look at all the different layers of the story. Before I get a little bit deeper.
Awfully convenient.
So there's another layer to all of this. The Minnesota Department of Public Safety said they were reinstated after his child support obligations were fulfilled. That's super convenient.
Mm-hmm.
However,
I wonder who paid those.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair question.
I wonder why they weren't paid before that. A spokesman for DPS confirmed Thompson doesn't have a Minnesota license as required for anyone living in the state for 60 days.
I'm pretty sure he's been.
No wonder they're against photo ID for voting. They're running around without licenses.
Well, then, in Minnesota, obviously, our licenses have to be renewed every 4 years. And right. So if Wisconsin is the same thing every 4 years, I don't know what it is offhand, but presumably, every 4 years. Then, as recently as 4 years, he's had to renew, and once again claim a resident of Wisconsin in order to qualify.
This whole story is just so odd to me. Like, there's so many aspects of it that are just like, the more you learn about it, it just gets weirder and weirder.
Yeah, and look, if you don't have a front license plate, you're going to get pulled over. That's not racial profiling.
Well, So in the state office building, he parks right in front of me. So there's two rows of cars, and he's right there. But he was parked nose in, so I didn't see the license plate. But definitely crossed my mind when I heard the story.
Police deny racially profiling Thompson, saying that they had no idea who they were pulling over.
He let him know pretty quick, though.
He let him know real quick.
He let him know pretty. You know who I am?
The officer who pulled Thompson over is working on the Toward Zero Deaths traffic campaign. And at a rally for Philando Castile on Tuesday, again, this incident occurred on Sunday, so on Tuesday, Thompson said, "I'm still being profiled. In fact, I was just pulled over Saturday," which I don't think is true.
Well, it was 1:18 a.m. on Sunday, so it was still Saturday for him.
Mm-hmm. Saturday
hadn't ended yet.
He's just a night owl.
Yeah.
He said, "I was just pulled over Saturday for a pretextual stop. You don't have a front license plate, and I got a ticket for my license."
Well, yeah.
Duh.
You don't have driving privileges in Minnesota, dude. You do not have driving privileges. I mean, I guess you do now.
Yeah.
But you didn't at the time you got pulled over. You did not have driving privileges in Minnesota. That's why you got a ticket, not because you're black.
It's funny to me too, because he goes on to say,
it's DFL privilege.
Yeah, right.
He goes on to say, "Anyway, I thought we weren't doing pretextual stops here in the state, but we are."
Yeah, and then he says, "We're still getting driving while black tickets here in the state." No, you got a driving without a license ticket. That's the ticket you got. There's no driving while black ticket.
Mm-hmm. Always a victim. Always a victim.
My God.
This
guy's in the state house. He is a state representative.
Well, and this
in this supposedly incredibly racist, oppressive, white supremacist society, he is a state representative.
This raises a good point. There was a discussion. There was a measure passed at the close of session about prohibiting sitting legislators from being a lobbyist, while they're a sitting legislator. And someone raised the question, what about all these community activists that are representatives? What about their, you know, that's exactly what, I mean, they aren't somehow the same thing. You get these, I mean, my first interaction with now Representative Thompson, I was at a St. Paul City Council hearing with one of my clients who was dealing with a liquor license issue. And it was the night with the, that they were going to remove officers from the advisory board. There was just going to be a citizen-only advisory board.
Right.
And he was one of the speakers, and he got up there. And someone on the city council had said something. There was some discussion about officers, you know, putting their lives on the line every day, right? And he gets up and he says, I put my life on the line every day because I'm black. And I'm like, well, this guy's a gem. And then also, the next thing I know, he was standing in Hugo threatening to burn it down.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, he's running for something now. Okay.
Yeah. And endorsed by the governor.
Yes. And yeah. Yeah. Never rescinded that endorsement. And yes, apparently his public safety commission department got reinstated his license.
Coincidence. Pure coincidence.
I hope there's some follow-up on this. I believe that it was Tom Hauser that originally put this piece together.
I do believe so.
And Hauser does a good job.
Yeah,
and,
he does.
And he'll you know, I'm sure, confident at least, that that there will be some follow-up on this. You're right, though, Jeff. The meat of this story is the Wisconsin license.
Yep.
How did he get that? Where does he claim his residency? How does he have a Wisconsin license? Is he breaking Wisconsin laws by lying to them and telling them he's a resident when he's not? And the only reason he has a Wisconsin driver's license is to get around the fact that his license was suspended because he didn't pay child support.
I think that there's so many juicy details about this story that are just going to keep on getting added and added and added, and I can't wait.
If we had a news, you mentioned Tom Hauser, if we had a print media, if we had a lot more reporters and a lot more stations that weren't just the communications wing of the Minnesota DFL, we would have the investigation as to why the heck this, get to the bottom of this as to why he had this and how he got it.
Representative Eric Lucero, you know, you are also a state representative. You work in the same body. Can you posit a little bit and pontificate a little bit on what the actions would be, what the coverage would be if this were a Republican state legislator under these exact same circumstances, you know, caught driving with suspended privileges, some reason has a Wisconsin license, didn't pay child support, all these other factors in here. Do you think that this would maybe draw the attention of a Star Tribune reporter?
Oh, 100%. In fact, on the way here, I was looking at, or just before I get on the road, I didn't see this even on the top headlines on the Star Tribune website.
No, I didn't either. I didn't either. I missed this story because I didn't go to the KSTP website this morning for some reason. I usually, you know, hit all the local sites. That's the only place that I know that I know of that has reported on it so far.
But Ryan Winkler would be out there. He'd be tweeting immediately, right? And all of the news media around the state would be reporting this, how demands to resign, demands for investigation. That's exactly what would happen.
Yeah, it would be bypassed the investigation. We'd be going right to the calls for immediate resignation.
Yeah, of course. Of course you would. And you know what? They'd probably be successful because they would have the entire media on their side.
That's right.
They would have the drumbeat of just a constant every day. You know, why hasn't he resigned yet? They would go to every other Republican in the legislature and ask for your comment.
Exactly.
What do you have to say about this story? What do you have to say about the failure to resign on Representative so-and-so?
Yeah,
has Ryan Winkler been asked about John Thompson at all? Has Melissa Hortman been asked about John Thompson at all? I know Governor Walz never rescinded the endorsement after he threatened to burn down an entire Minnesota town.
Yeah, exactly. Threatening women and children, screaming profanities at women and children, threatening police officers and the entire city of Hugo. Exactly.
That just sounds like a jerk.
Yeah, well, and so okay, on that note, so my experience with Representative John Thompson, so I'm on the House floor, we're debating the, I think it was the higher education, no, not higher education, I forget which bill it was, but there was an amendment that pertained to law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And I was defending law enforcement, and I was making references then to John Thompson and, you know, his actions in Hugo, and how former Rep Ray Dean, you know, his wild proposal to disarm police officers in Minneapolis.
Right.
And anyway, I was on, and then he just interrupts. So I have the House floor, I'm speaking, and John Thompson just interrupts. Flat out.
Which you're not supposed to do. It's against the House rules.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. You have to go through the parliamentarian, the Speaker of the House, and to be recognized. And he just begins talking over Zoom. And I said, Mr. Speaker, can you please, I have the floor, Representative Thompson's out of order. So the Speaker calls him out of order, and then he concludes his remarks. I know you're a racist. And
talking
so,
about you.
Speaking about me.
Eric Lucero.
And so I, yeah, exactly. So I had to, later that day then, I had to remind the body, number one, I'm Hispanic. Number two, I married, and, you know, my wife is a minority. She's East Indian. And then she's from Pakistan. So she's, you know, has an Islamic background. All my in-laws are Muslim. And I then remind
you're
them.
You're a textbook racist.
Yeah, exactly.
You're checking all the boxes.
Such a racist that I went to Africa. My sister married a Kenyan. Uh-huh. And I'm the one who gave my sister away at the altar to a Kenyan. I mean, I'm such a racist. In Africa, in Kenya.
It's a deep cover for a closeted racist.
Well, look, you know, if you're going to be a racist these days, you have to do that, right? Uh-huh. You have to put all these layers on it.
Right.
Otherwise, you know, you can't be obvious about it.
But all I asked was a simple apology. Simple apology.
For calling you. Why did he call you a racist?
Because I defend law enforcement.
That's it?
Anybody who stands up for our law enforcement professionals is clearly a racist in their opinion.
Classic white supremacy.
Respecting other human beings.
Yeah. How dare you?
Even though they're police, despite the fact that they're police, we'll still respect them. Yeah. So racist. We only have a minute or so, and we got Representative Tom Emmer coming up in the next segment, but I want to spend some time and ask you about the sort of the culture within the House, especially in this last session. It had to be one of the more bizarre experiences of your career, right?
Oh, it was painful. Just painful. We can get in, within a few minutes here, less than a minute. Essentially, every committee, it didn't matter which committee it was. The Capital Investment Committee, the Public Safety Committee, the Higher Education Committee, the Commerce Committee, the Education Committee, whatever. If a disparity exists between minorities and white people in their narrative, as they pushed for several months here, where a disparity exists, it is the product of white privilege. It is the product of racism. And therefore, the only solution is to give more money.
So basically what they're saying is that the DFL has been a historically racist party because they've been in charge of the state and specifically, you know, where all of the inequities are really highlighted are in Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Yep, exactly.
Right? And who has run Minneapolis and St. Paul for generations?
For decades, yeah.
The DFL.
Exactly.
So why do we keep electing them if they're so racist?
And, you know, for decades we've had the Attorney General has been Democrat for at least, a decade now. We've had the DFL governor. Mm-hmm. So why do these inequities, why does this racism, systemic racism, as they call it, exist? What has the Democrat Attorney General been doing for five decades?
And this isn't unique to the Twin Cities. This is not unique to Minnesota. This is happening all over the country. All of these cities that have had generational Democrat control, we see the same problems. We see the same inequities. We see the same failure to educate minority students. We see the same failure to educate low-income students. We see the same rising crime rates. We see the same problems in all of these cities.
Well, you see, you know, people, you know, criticizing the justice system and, you know, saying that it is racist. Well, again, back to Representative Lucero's point about, you know, we've had a DFL governor the last decade, you know, between two of them. Who do you think appoints the judges?
Right.
Most of the judges on the bench have either been appointed by Mark Dayton or Tim Walz.
And then state prosecutors.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, again, we there's a story that I want to get to a little bit later, talking about gun crime in specifically in Brooklyn Park, and it may be Brooklyn Center. I got to find it, but I think it's Brooklyn Park. And in one little blurb in the story, it talks about how they investigated 61 gun related crimes and found that of all of them, like the perpetrators received little to no sentencing whatsoever. Most of them, weren't even charged.
Well,
whose fault is that?
Yeah, well, that's exactly. Well, they admitted that there was the prosecutor in the public safety committee who admitted we don't charge certain gun crimes because the penalty is not stiff enough, and
so there's no point in even charging it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Jeez.
And so we've offered amendments and to increase the penalty for that to specifically address what the district attorney had said, and the Democrats. Ignore. They do not want to do that because we clearly know it's not about truth. It's about an agenda.
Yeah. Good job, Sam. Great top five.
Thank you.
Especially that last one.
I know.
It was really solid.
Thanks.
Representative Tom Emmer is going to join us next. We're going to find out if there's any relief in sight to this ongoing inflation and rising gas prices. Stick around. Justice and Drew continues on with the Friday Roundtable in studio. Lawyer extraordinaire and in-house counsel, Jeff O'Brien.
Good to be back.
Second appearance this week.
Yep.
State Representative Eric Lucero.
Good morning.
Making his debut, first time appearance on the Friday Roundtable. Pleasure to have you wearing your representative extraordinaire hat.
I'm humbled and very proud to wear it, absolutely.
And joining us now, as he does most every Friday, our good friend Representative Tom Emmer. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Nice to hear Lucero and O'Brien. I also want to thank you for a beautiful Friday morning to start it off with some of your very energetic sponsors. Nasal irrigation. Wow, what a way to start the day.
Tom, I'm working on an endorsement here.
Tom, if you have not nasally irrigated yourself, you are really missing out on life.
I got news for you, Sam. I'm in Congress. Nasal irrigation is a daily along with other irrigation. But we won't get into that.
Representative Lucero made a good point during the break, you know, but with Emmer now on the line, and we've got four people on the show, plus Tom Emmer on the line as a guest, all representing Wright County. This is a Wright County bonanza happening in here.
Coincidence? I think not.
We're taking over. We're moving in. We're going to annex you, Hennepin County.
birds of a feather. They can come out. They can come out and take a peek. But when you go door to door in Wright County, as Eric will tell you, you know, the you're going to find a lot of stickers that freedom isn't free, and you know, there's a different vibe in Wright County that you don't find in Hennepin County.
I have noticed that in my coming up on 1 year residency in Wright County.
It's two different worlds.
Yeah, it really is.
Did you change your driver's license?
Yes, I did, actually. I did and I even did it within the 60 days. I had lived in Minnesota for about 6 years before I got a Minnesota license. Just because I was lazy, and you'd mentioned you didn't know how the expiration works. When I came from Arizona, they don't renew your license for 30 years. You get a 30-year renewal.
Wow.
So when I got my license there, it didn't expire until like 2037 or something like that. So I was in no hurry.
So you had your high school picture on there,
pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I got pulled over, you know, for something I don't remember what, and they said, you know, you've lived here more than 60 days, haven't you? Well, you got to get a new license. So I took care of it.
It was the expired Arizona plates, Andrew. That's why
you pulled over. Yeah, right, exactly. So, Representative Emmer, we were talking earlier this week about gas prices. Sam had a story in her top five about how the gas prices are just rising. Analysts expect it to continue to rise. It's looking like it's going to be a very, very expensive summer for anybody who wants to break out of, you know, their COVID bubble that they've been in for the last year and maybe take a road trip, maybe go on a vacation or something like that. It's going to be extremely difficult. Do you see any relief on the horizon when it comes to not only gas prices, but just the inflation all around, the rising prices we're seeing across the board?
Well, we've seen this. Gas is up at the pump 40% this year, and it's these are the highest prices I think we've seen since 2008 or thereabout, maybe a little bit later than that. But certainly under the Obama administration, and let's face it, I don't know that people want to write it in this town, but people should be talking about the fact that this is the socialist Democrats' war on fossil fuels. The first day that he was inaugurated, this president was handed a stack of executive orders, which included killing the Keystone Pipeline and the 11,000 great-paying American jobs that went with it. And that was only the beginning. I mean, they want to kill any form of energy that's not their, you know, solar, wind, et cetera, which is fine, but it should be an all-of-the-above energy policy. And ever since then, we've just seen this thing start to climb. But it's more than that. Inflation in general is because of their radical socialist policies. Look, you don't have to be a PhD to understand that if you pump cash into the economy, and you have limited or restricted supply, right? And by the way, you're pumping cash into the hands of people who find it more lucrative to sit at home and collect checks than to go back to work because the government is providing excess payments to their unemployment, thereby disincenting them to get back into the workforce. You're only exacerbating the problem. That is what creates inflation, and they've had 5% inflation since the beginning of the year. This, by the way, if you look at recent polling, most Americans, well over 50%, are somewhat concerned or very concerned about the inflation being caused by the Biden administration policies. And this isn't going to happen because they're talking about doing $6 trillion. I would suggest to anybody who's listening to your show today, if you're not familiar with something known as modern monetary theory, it's time for you to look it up and understand what it is. In a nutshell, what it is modern monetary theorists believe that debt does not matter, that you will never have a problem. You can spend as much money as you want. These are still the same people who believe that Alice in Wonderland was a true story as well. It does not end well. The White House is littered with these people, so they're going to continue to spend money unless we can stop them. And the inflation, I love this, guys. We targeted 11 vulnerable Democrats over the 4th of July with this inflation issue, telling their constituents, call your congressman and tell him his policies or hers are costing you more for your barbecue on the 4th of July. You know, the White House clearly noticed because they quick spun up their own counter ad and put it out and said, actually, if you do it by their math, your barbecue is 16 cents less this year than it was the last time.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't have a 4th of July last year because they locked us all up. So right. This is a big issue. It's bigger than politics. If they don't start to get this monetary policy in line, I mean, they're talking about rising wages, but guess what? It's gas, it's groceries, it's everything that people need to feed their families and live a good life in this country. Prices are going up.
Yeah, everything's getting painfully expensive, and it's not going to stop. We got a tweet here from one of our friends of the show on Twitter, Incorrigible. The way we fight inflation and higher prices right now is getting people back to work, and that will get the supply chains running, that will push production, that will fill demand. And until we stop paying people to sit home and do nothing, and to sit home and not work, you know, it's, I mean, that's one piece of the puzzle, but it is a really important piece of the puzzle. We got to stop with these stimulus. We got to stop these extended unemployment benefits. The pandemic is, for all intents and purposes, over. People are getting vaccinated. People who want to get vaccinated are getting vaccinated. Numbers are declining all across the country. There is no reason, there is no justification whatsoever to continue to pay people to sit at home. We got to force them, essentially, to get back to work if we really want to get this economy going again.
Hey, this Fauci guy, be careful with that, Andrew. Fauci told us a couple weeks ago that we were past it. Now he's, oh my goodness, it's the Delta variant. Guys, the pandemic is over. It's done. Get your butts up off your couch, get back into the workforce, and let's get this country moving again and stop playing the victim. It's time to get back to work. I think your listener that tweeted that out is dead on right.
Absolutely. Representative Tom Emmerman, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining the show. Have a great weekend. I hope you're able to enjoy the nice weather out in Wright County, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Great. I'm headed to a nasal irrigation, guys. You have a great rest.
Yes, do it. It's good for you.
Have you done it? Really? Have you had your nasals irrigated?
I don't know. I've done like the thing where you squirt something up one nostril and then it comes out the other nostril. I think you've
done a neti pot.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. That's
God.
What it's called.
Oh, it's gross.
How is that gross?
Because it just sounds gross.
Have you done it?
No.
You should do it.
I'm not going to.
It's actually very good for you.
All right. Use the hashtag TCNT if you're a neti pot enthusiast like Sam.
You should be if you're not.
We got a Law Extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, State Rep Eric Lucero in for the Friday Roundtable. More coming up next. Of Justice and Drew continues on. The phone number for you to take part is 651-989-5855. The email is jd@twincitiesnewstalk.com. Before we get into the latest in the saga of Hunter Biden, because it is a saga, and it just keeps getting worse and worse, I got an update on that. I want to read a few emails that we got talking about the John Thompson story that we covered in Sam's Top 5. Right at the top of this hour. Quick recap, DFL Representative John Thompson, the same John Thompson threatened to burn down Hugo, all that, was ticketed over the weekend, cited for driving with suspended driving privileges. He was pulled over at 1:18 a.m. on Sunday morning for not having a front license plate. And in that stop, they learned that the state representative has had his Minnesota driving privileges suspended for failure to pay child support. But he handed the officers the Wisconsin driver's license. Our in-house counsel, Jeff O'Brien, astutely noted that this is probably the most compelling aspect of the story.
Absolutely.
How does he have a Wisconsin driver's license? How did he get a Wisconsin driver's license? Which state is he lying to about residency? Because clearly it's one of them.
Yeah.
Because he's a representative from St. Paul, so he has to be a resident there. But in order to obtain a Wisconsin driver's license, he would also have to demonstrate proof of residency there as well. I just want to read a few emails that came in for this. Listener says, I moved from Stillwater to Wisconsin, and yeah, you pretty much have to give DNA for a license, they write. Another listener writes in, my wife and I went through a similar process with her ex-husband. He didn't pay child support for more than 6 months. The state had the policy that after 90 days, you can request that the non-payer's privileges be revoked. That took more than 6 months to get them revoked through, you know, a system that he calls broken here. It took him 2 days to get the driving privileges back once setting up a payment plan, not making a payment. So that could be part of the explanation as to how Representative Thompson ended up getting his driving privileges returned to him so quickly after getting pulled over and cited. If he agreed to a payment plan, apparently, that can help you get them restored.
Right. So yeah, I saw a few tweets about the requirements, and I've seen my wife Jennifer, who is a Wisconsin native, so she knows a little something about getting a Wisconsin driver's license, sent me some information. You do have to show proof of residency to get a Wisconsin driver's license. So that's, I think, the $64,000 question here is, what did he show for proof of residency in Wisconsin to get a Wisconsin driver's license?
It's a legitimate question.
Because, as we know, there's also residency requirements to run for the state house.
And that was going to be my point. It'd be one thing if this were just, you know, random average, you know, John Q. citizen, right? I mean, you know, okay. You know, you probably have some fines to pay, you know, for lying to one of the states about your residency. But at the end of the day, this guy is a state representative, right? I mean, we need to hold elected officials to a bit of a higher standard, don't we?
I agree. I mean, I can remember in my
with
time
one sitting right across from me and
dealing with cases where
I'm thinking Ilhan Omar, right?
Yeah, right.
She sets the standard of how you can skirt the law and not be held accountable.
I was at a firm one time that, you know, handled some of these issues with the residency requirements and challenging them for a party. And I can remember, you know, seeing photos of this is what this person claims to be as their home. And it was like, you know, it was like smaller than a tiny house or it was a public, you know, the public storage facilities, things like that. And, but this is just bizarre.
Well, like I say on the show all the time, rules are for suckers, right?
Right.
And the DFL are not suckers. they are a lot of things, but they are not suckers.
No,
you know. So if there are rules in place that prevent them from getting done whatever they want to get done, they will skirt them. They will ignore them. They don't feel compelled to abide by.
Well, we've seen that with the COVID measures.
Representative Lucero brings up a great analogy with Ilhan Omar. I mean, yeah, if you watched the saga of Ilhan Omar, right, over the course of the last 6-7 years and her ascension into the state house. And then into Congress, right, with all of these clearly obvious infractions surrounding her. But, you know, she's got that sort of DFL shield where she doesn't have to answer for any of those things.
Exactly.
No, you know, Esme Murphy is never going to sit her down and ask any tough questions. Esme Murphy isn't going to ask for John Thompson to come in on this Sunday and ask him how he got a Wisconsin driver's license and why he has a Wisconsin driver's license. That's just not going to that doesn't happen in Minnesota. Melissa Hortman, Ryan Winkler, they're not going to say anything about this. Governor Walz isn't going to say anything about this because rules are for suckers.
Well, no, it's exactly. their party's attitude is more rules for thee, but not for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is all for you peasants. This doesn't apply to us.
Mm-hmm. Do as I say, not as I do.
How do you function in an environment like that and actually get anything done? I mean, especially you got a divided government. You know, you got the Republicans controlling the House, the DFL, or Republicans controlling the Senate, DFL controlling the House. You got Governor Walz. You know, how do you competently function when you're not negotiating with people who are acting in good faith at all.
Well, that's exactly right. And how do you do it? That's the question. And it's incredibly difficult when the person sitting across the table from you, when there's different standards, you know that they're going to be sheltered from the consequences of their decisions, and they're not speaking in good faith. Yeah. How do you do it?
All right. The Rules Are for Suckers is an excellent transition into our next story here from the Seattle Times. White House officials helped craft an agreement between Hunter Biden and this art gallery that is selling his work. The White House officials helped craft an agreement under which purchases of Hunter Biden's artwork, which could be listed at prices as high as $500,000.
What?
Have either of you seen any of his artwork?
I was just going to say, I was thinking, is it finger paint or what exactly?
It's garbage. I've seen it. It's garbage. It looks like viruses. It looks like he's painted the coronavirus, basically. But it could be sold as high as $500,000. So these people who purchased Hunter Biden's artwork will be kept confidential. Isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
Convenient. Even from the artist himself, wink, wink, right? No way Hunter's going to find out who purchased this artwork. In an attempt to avoid ethical issues that could arise as a presidential family member tries to sell a product with a highly subjective value.
All I can think of from the first time that I saw this story about him, suddenly he's an artist,
mm-hmm.
was the scene from Mickey Blue Eyes where Hugh Grant is the auctioneer and the mob is laundering money through his auction house with some of the worst art that has ever existed. And I'm like, we're seriously living out a movie plot right now. I mean, who knows, you know, who is paying for this art?
We will never know.
Which country is paying for this art?
Thanks to the Joe Biden White House, we will never, ever know.
Can you imagine if this had happened under the last guy? Can you imagine if Don Jr. had gone out there and done an art exhibit and, you know, did some finger painting or some water, you know, some paint by numbers or something. Yeah. And someone was, and you had anonymous buyers paying $500,000 for these pieces. Can you imagine the media's reaction?
Of course. Could you imagine Brian Stelter, Jake Tapper?
There would have been a third impeachment.
Of course there would be. It's obviously fraud, right? I mean, this guy's not an artist. He's got no formal art training. I've seen his art. It's not special. And everybody involved in this process openly admits, like out in the open, that his art would not sell for nearly this amount if his last name were not Biden.
Yeah.
So there's one of two possibilities. Either, you know, we'll go with the above the board possibility. There's just some serious Biden fans out there. Like, they are some serious fans.
Well, he did get more votes than any other candidate in presidential election history.
That's true. Wink, wink.
So, you know, I was at, I'm just glad it's not. So I was at the Walker Art Center here. This was years ago. And one of the art displays was fingernail clippings over a series of years. So some artist clipped her nails, put them in a series of jars, and that was the art. Another one was the sleep, the eye, you know, when you wake up in the morning, the crusty eye stuff, had put that in the jars, and that was art. Oh, I'm glad it's not that from Hunter Biden.
Under an arrangement negotiated in recent months, a New York art gallery owner is planning to set prices for the art and will withhold all records, including potential bidders and final buyers. They have also agreed, wink, wink, to reject any offer that he deems suspicious. How do you, seriously, what kind of grounds are they going to use for that? So they'll reject any offer that deems suspicious or that comes in over the asking prices, according to people familiar with the agreement. Biden's art sale, expected to take place this fall, comes with potential challenges. Not only has Biden previously been accused of trading in on his father's name, but his latest vocation is in a field where, and this is so generous, works do not have a tangible fixed value. And where concerns have arisen about secretive buyers and undisclosed terms. Now, the art world is rife with money laundering.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and it's the perfect venue to do it because it is all.
And it's not like Hunter Biden has been this famous artist for, you know, years. This is news to me that
this
he
is
even
the first time he's ever done this.
Yeah, this is news to me.
It is.
You know, I'm just going to pick Dad's president now. I'm going to pick up painting.
Yeah, no, it is.
So he goes from international consultant to
Energy, Painter, yeah, on the board of energy companies, yeah, in the Ukraine, on the board of tech companies in China.
Two artists.
He must have one hell of a LinkedIn profile.
He's involved with these. With
the Renaissance high profile man.
Mexican companies, yeah. Smokes Parmesan cheese on the side.
Book author, right?
Has a Pornhub channel. I mean, he does. He's got his own Pornhub channel. I mean, this guy does a little bit of everything.
I mean, for the record,
a lot of crack.
For the record, I think they made him delete his Pornhub channel. I don't think it exists anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sam.
I know, you can't even make that joke.
I know you had it bookmarked.
No, I didn't. Whatever. No, I did not. I just thought that it was hilarious.
She did not like that joke.
I just thought that it was hilarious that he even had one and didn't think to delete it sooner until it was a national story.
All right, I got more details on this White House agreement. I can't believe like the White House is getting involved in this Hunter Biden art and it's not raising red flags across all the media. Again, I said this on the show earlier this week. The level of scrutiny that was paid to the Trump family, the Trump organization, and all of their finances. I mean, they basically wanted the IRS to give him a public colonoscopy to figure out, you know, every penny he's ever spent. And that's fine, right? You want to hold presidents and their families to that standard, do it, but do it consistently. Do it across the board.
Yeah, in all seriousness, it is just a clear abuse of power for the White House and involvement in this whatsoever, and to allow for the money laundering, as you said. Imagine the world's dictators wanting to peddle influence with the White House. What a better way to channel money.
Yeah. Well, and we already know that Hunter Biden, like Joe Biden gets half of whatever Hunter Biden makes.
Exactly.
We know that. We know that because Hunter Biden texted it to his daughter, and we read those texts. We know that. So anything Hunter Biden makes is getting in Joe's pocket. 651-989-5855. More details on this, plus your phone calls coming up.
Unexpected trouble? CashNet USA can take the stress out of borrowing emergency funds. Our fast, secure application process makes it easy to apply online 24/7. Plus, CashNet USA offers same-day funding if approved before 10:30 a.m. Central Time Monday through Friday. Additional terms may apply. Visit CashNetUSA.com or tap the banner to apply today.